listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 54, and my name is DJ Chuang. Thanking you again for tuning in for another episode, and we are into our second year of podcasting. So glad to have reached this milestone, and as I look at my dashboard, over 12,000 downloads over the past 54 weeks or so. I do skip a week here and there, but I try to keep it as a weekly podcast. And I would certainly love to connect with you through whichever social media network you're using. Of course, we're on Twitter and Facebook, on the internet at socialmediachurch.net. My guest on this episode is a pastor friend of mine in the state of Maryland. His name is Clement Wen, youth minister at Chinese Bible Church of Maryland in Rockville, Maryland. And I still have family that live out there, so I try to get out to the Washington, D.C. area at least twice a year to visit mom and my two brothers. And on my last visit, I got to sit down with Clement over lunch, and we talked about how youth ministry was going. I have a 16-year-old son myself, and so I am learning youth ministry just like some of you in your churches, or those of you that have teenagers in your family, you might be able to relate. What's amazing is these teenagers are growing up in a world that's always had internet, always had social media. During my conversation with Clement, I discovered that he actually took a whole year off from Facebook, closed down his account, and disconnected from using Facebook for an entire year while he was doing youth ministry. So I had to hear, well, how did that go? How did he stay offline and yet stay effective as a youth minister? We're chatting in a restaurant over lunch, so there's a bit of background noise, but I want you to hear how he was able to do that, and a few things that he learned. And after our brief conversation over lunch about Facebook, although we did talk about other things, I just included the excerpt about Facebook, I also grabbed an excerpt from his sermon where he shared about the experience of being off of Facebook for an entire year, what that experience was like, what he learned about himself, and what's amazing, also the insight he learned about the heart of God. Here's my conversation with Clement Wen in a barbecue restaurant in Rockville, Maryland. So I noticed that you stopped using Facebook for well over a year. So how do you do youth ministry without Facebook?
Well, it's really intuitive. I mean, you cut out Facebook, and then when you sit down with people and have a conversation with them, you don't feel like you've had a running commentary of their life for the last few months. And you can actually dig and explore and have them share things with you in a fresh way. It's a different level of conversation than if I knew their constant updates or their constant complaints or whatnot. I don't have a stream of consciousness that I'm working with. I'm just talking with a person, and they can share a story in a much more coherent way, in a way that they've already been able to process some things on their own, and then I can help them process from that point on.
So what's the secret? How do you stay in touch?
You got to be really intentional.
What do you use?
Lunches, phone calls.
Because you can only be in one place at a time.
That is true.
One of the things about social media is you can be touching dozens of people at once.
That is true. I was never really one of those people who updated very much. I wasn't really one of those people who was like typing quotes out on Facebook all the time. Just wasn't that. I'm just not that kind of person.
No, you're not.
I'm not really sharing very much about myself online. I don't know what it is. I don't know why.
Came back on Facebook. Yeah. Why did you do that? And what have you noticed?
Why I came back? Back in December, I felt I was a little bit out of touch with a lot of my close friends and family, and also some of the teens. I mean, that is the one part that is a drawback. I mean, every technology is a blessing and a curse. Mm-hmm. And so one of the drawbacks of not being on there was I wasn't getting the Facebook invite to this event that was going on or a party that was going on. And then people were like, where were you? Or I didn't hear about it. But then at the same time, you know, my conversations with people when I did hang out with them was a lot deeper. Mm. I felt like it was a higher quality. Mm. And I mentioned to you this earlier. Yeah, I was experimenting with whether youth ministry could be done without Facebook. And I realized I was able to focus more of my time in study, focus more of my time in teaching, read things that in more deep ways that I wouldn't have been able to do had I been on Facebook and I was checking constantly. So I felt like I was able to take in a lot more. And also, probably because of that, I think part of my promotion this past year was because I had that focus time. I came back because in December I read an article by Donald Miller talking about the five regrets of people who are on their deathbed. I think reason number four was they lost touch with people and they really wish they could have stayed in touch with, and that was sort of the impetus. Actually, you should go check out, I preached a sermon on my experience coming back to Facebook. Oh. My first sermon in January in the youth ministry folder. Yeah. It's called God's Love for Us and Our Heart for Him or something like that. Okay. And I actually talked about my experience coming back on Facebook, and people who I was friends with before were like, I'm only giving you one chance on Facebook. I'm not friending you back. Or we had a... That's pretty fun. Yeah. We learned a lot.
As Clement described his sermon about how he explained the experience of being off of Facebook for an entire year, Clement actually found in the archives an audio of the sermon where he described his experience being off of Facebook. So here's the excerpt from that sermon describing his experience of being offline from Facebook and how that affected him and how that gave him an insight about the heart of God.
Last year in February, I decided to quit Facebook because I felt like it was distracting me from being able to do the things in my life that mattered. And throughout the year last year, as I wasn't on Facebook, I found that I could read better. I found that I could focus better on so many things. But by the end of the year, I felt really, really out of touch with all of you and with all my friends around the world from all the different seasons of my life. And Tracy happened to send me an article in December from Donald Miller's blog. And she had no intention of this because she loved my life without Facebook. She felt like I was more attentive at home and that kind of thing. But she sent me this article by an author named Donald Miller. And Donald Miller's blog was writing about the top five things that he hears dying people say, the top five regrets. And the fourth one was that they did not keep in touch with their loved ones and their close relatives. And as I started to sort through whether or not this new year would be a good time for me to come back on, I decided that maybe I need to get reconnected. And so a lot of you got friend requests from me this week. And I think this week has been a really strange week for me. I'm in a really weird place right now because I'm very, very self-conscious of like what people think of me this week. And that tends to happen when you send out 1,300 friend requests in 1 week for three or four straight days. But, you know, the reason I'm sharing this with you is because the whole week as well, I felt like I've been given a special insight into the heart of God through this experience. For three or four days straight this week, by 3 o'clock p.m., as I've been friending people, this window would eventually pop up every single day. Let's go to the next slide. Add friend. Warning, please slow down. It looks like you're using this feature in a way it wasn't meant to be used. Please slow down, or you could be blocked from using it. Please type in this code. And for the next, like, 30, 40 add friends that I would do, this window would pop up every single friend I tried to add, and so I would quit for the day. I was like, okay, that's time for me to quit. I don't want to be blocked from being able to add friends, so we'll just leave that at there. Now, through this process, I've noticed some really interesting things. I wish I had kept better track of statistics, because I could probably write like a research paper on people's responses here. Okay? First of all, over the past year that I've been off, at random times during the year, I guess my name would show up in that window next to, you know, your homepage where it says, friends you might know, people you might know, add this person. And I would get emails from some of my closer friends or some people who would expect to be able to reach me, or I'd be on GChat, and suddenly being on GChat with one of my friend would suddenly want to have this impulse to go to my Facebook page and see what else I've been up to, and they would find out that I had defriended them. And they would write me an email with, like, all capital letters, like, "Honey, you defriended me on Facebook? What the heck? What's going on?" And I'd have to explain to them, "Oh, no, no, it's not just you. We're still friends. Don't worry. I defriended everyone except for my wife. Because I'm trying to, you know, but I left my profile on here. If you ever need a message, message me." And I found that a lot of people, as I re-added them, they had that same exact response. Probably like 30 or 40 people have messaged me back like, "I thought we were already friends on Facebook. What's going on? Wait, we're not friends on Facebook? I thought I added you already." I got that response a lot. I also found out that a lot of people actually don't use Facebook as much as I thought they did. I thought everyone was checking like every 5 minutes. But actually, I would send a request, and then like 3 or 4 days later, someone would confirm me. Yesterday, when people would confirm me after a week of having it, some people won't confirm me probably until months later. And I realized, actually, this Facebook thing that we're also used to and maybe addicted to, it's slowed down a little bit. I've also gotten responses like this. My friend, I'm not using his real name, my friend Tom, next slide. He texted me on my cell phone immediately on Tuesday at 8:29 p.m. I was at H Mart with Tracy shopping. And he said, "Proud of you. You went nearly a year without Facebook. That is an accomplishment." My guess is that Tom was having dinner with his wife, Laura, at the time. And the conversation they probably had was, "Hey, I'm texting Clement right now to say I'm proud of him." And then Laura probably talked about her comments on, you know, my recent friending of her as well, because we were good friends with them in Vancouver. We had dinner together every Sunday night. We were very close. And the next text I got really shocked me. This is what he said: "And to have to add back all your friends one by one? Forget about it. Laura says she's not going to add you this time around. You only get one shot on Facebook with her." Maybe some of you felt that same way when you saw my add friend thing. I was really shocked too. You know, you start to feel sort of self-conscious. Says up till this morning, only like 796 people have friended me back. That means there's like 300 or 400 or 500 people who have either rejected me at the same time, or I'm just still waiting for them to respond. But it was interesting, and let me just say this. This is why I think I've gotten a little bit of insight into God's heart for people this week. A lot of people are no longer, like, searchable on Facebook, right? They want their privacy. You're not allowed to just type in their name in Facebook search and find them. So I had to, like, start employing some tricks to find people that mattered to me. You know, I would go through, and I would go through, like, someone's friend list, and I would see everyone that I knew I would add, or everyone I wanted to add, I would add. And then I would be like, "Wait, this person's missing. Where can I find them?" And I'd have to think, "Who's a mutual friend? Who's a mutual friend? Who's a mutual friend?" I go to a mutual friend's page, and they only show mutual friends because they've limited my access to their friends list. So I'd be like, "Who's another mutual friend? Who's another mutual friend?" And I'd find another mutual friend, like, "Oh, are they in this list?" I type their name in. "Yes, I found them," right? I'd have to employ tricks like that. Some people I just couldn't find, I would send them an email and be like, "Hey, I'm back on Facebook, I'm going to reconnect with you," and I'd get a friend request back. Yay, right? There are other people who I was like, "Who am I missing?" The whole week, Tracy was so annoyed with me at dinner. She's like, "Honey, you're so absent-minded right now. Where are you right now?" I'm like, "Who am I missing? Who am I missing? Who am I missing? Who am I missing? Who's supposed to be Facebook friends with me? Who's supposed to be Facebook friends with me? Who am I missing? Who am I missing? Who am I missing?" I couldn't stop thinking about who I was still missing, because there are so many people that have mattered to me in my life through different seasons that I've lived in, and living in Maryland and Boston and Chicago and Taiwan and Vancouver and Chicago again and then back to here. So many people. Who am I missing? Who am I missing? Who am I missing? I started going through my yearbook. Who am I missing? Who am I missing? Who am I missing? Going through the directories. Who am I missing? Who am I missing? Who am I missing? Who am I missing? And I found out this is the heart of God for us.
Thank you, Clement Nguyen, for being on the Social Media Church and sharing your experience with us about what it was like to continue doing ministry while being disconnected from Facebook, especially in a youth ministry context. Check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net if you'd like to follow up with Clement. He has stayed on Facebook since our conversation, so I think he will not be experimenting on that channel anyways. And it's been interesting to see news of social media and Facebook when it comes to churches, especially in the mainstream media. And with new technologies, different churches are just doing peculiar things when it comes to Facebook. An article from 2010, a few years back, there was a New Jersey pastor that ordered church workers to stay off of Facebook. So this pastor first made headlines when he urged his congregants to drop their Facebook accounts because he believes the social networking site facilitates affairs. He ordered about 50 married church officials to delete their Facebook accounts or resign from their leadership positions. He also suggested that married members of the congregation do the same and said he was deleting his own account. The pastor said he made the request because 20 couples among the 1,100 members of his flock had run into marital trouble over the past 6 months after a spouse connected with an old flame over Facebook. Now, that pastor was put on 90 days leave to pray and consider his decision, and I haven't followed up on what's happened since, but that's just one example of many strange and peculiar things that we as church leaders sometimes overreact to new technology rather than using it more actively to figure out, well, what are the pitfalls and what are the values of using social media more effectively? And that's kind of the conversation we want to cultivate here is, well, how do we learn to use social media more effectively as well as to, you know, manage our time and energy in using it in moderation and not becoming addicted and certainly not giving in to temptation of connecting with an old flame. Now, the latest research that I've found from Barna Group, published in June of 2013, is an article titled "The Rise of the At Pastor," kind of a reference to Twitter and the at sign becoming a convention of using usernames and handles. And in the portion where they describe Facebook, about 2/3 of pastors say they use Facebook in their role as a pastor. Among pastors, the most striking difference in Facebook usage is by age group. Nearly 9 out of 10 busters, ages 27 to 47, say they use Facebook, compared to just over 1/3 of pastors over the age of 65. So there is some age difference in terms of how much a church leader might use social media. And that's really no different than, you know, society at large, you could say. But social media usage is just going to increase. It's not going to decrease. The sales of mobile phones and tablets are going to exceed laptops and desktops anytime now. And to keep this content evergreen, I'm not going to cite exact statistics at the moment, but those are the trends. Very simply said, social media is becoming more and more a part of our lives and our relationships because it's how we communicate in the 21st century, and communication is relationships. And here at the Social Media Church, we love to have conversations, and I'd love to hear from you. So how has your experience been on Facebook? What have you learned about yourself? And have you had any insights about God or the Trinity even through your interaction on Facebook? And what do you think of the latest changes with Facebook? Facebook Social Graph and Social Search recently released. You can add your voice to the conversation through social media on Twitter and Facebook. The links are at socialmediachurch.net, or you can call in on our hotline. The number is 9493-543-216. And you can even text in your comment if it's short and you're fast on the dial. You can just text that in to the same phone number, 9493-543-216. If you're a returning listener and you already subscribe to the Social Media Church podcast, thank you very much. Spread the word and let others know about what you heard on this episode that grabbed your attention or provoked you or you found interesting. And if you're a new listener, subscribe to us on iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. And while you're over there in iTunes, please add a rating and a review about this podcast so that others can find us and join the conversation here, because as more of us get connected, it'll become that much more valuable as we glean from the wisdom of the crowd and really connect in as the body of Christ, which surpasses the boundaries of our church walls and our cities and states and even nations. I look forward to hearing from you. My name is DJ Chuang. This has been the Social Media Church Podcast, episode number 54, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. And until next time, we'll stay connected online.